Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Steel Strip Wheels Limited, hosted by Smith Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Hiranandani from Smith Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Smith Limited, I welcome you all to Q1 FY24 conference call of Steel Strip Wheels Limited. We are pleased to host the senior management of the company. Today, we have with us Mr. Dheeraj Garg, Promoter and MD, Mr. Mohan Joshi, Executive Director, Mr. Naveen Sohrab, CFO, and Mr. Pranav Jain, DGM Finance. We will start the call with initial commentary from the management, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Now, I hand over the call to the management team. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, all investors. Very nice to host you once again. I would like to start off. I'm sure you have had a you know, read on the results for the quarter one of this financial year. And based on that, I would like to highlight some of the basic growth factors in our story for the first quarter. So as you all know, that we have a few segments under which we operate. For example, we have aluminum wheels. Aluminum wheels grew at a pace of 4.5% YOY over last year. The export segment, again, you're aware of, grew by 157%. The passenger or the commercial vehicle segment, domestics, grew by 11.6%. Our tractor business de-grew by 8%. Our passenger wheel, steel wheel business de-grew by 14%, and our two-wheeler, three-wheeler segment grew by 4.5%. So all in all, we have a good growth of 8% on a weighted average basis. But primarily, the number has been driven down by steel wheels for passenger cars. And I would like to take this up front so that we can discuss the rest later. This happened mainly because we gave up a couple of businesses of Maruti, which were at a very, very low valuation. So we didn't want to focus on a business that was giving us 4%-5% EBITDA. And I understand our competition did take that business, but as you can all see, reading from his balance sheet, that he's also losing money in all his passenger car steel wheel business. So it's something that we have taken a conscious call to not take any low EBITDA margin business. In fact, as we speak now, I will make commentary as the questions arise. Our input costs that have risen remarkably in the last 2 years, so we are now taking up our increase in input costs from our OEMs, and we are putting our foot down and sort of taking a tough stand in order to get back all the input increases that have happened over the last 2 years. So this giving up of business in the passenger car steel side is linked to that strategy. So overall, this is these are the broad parameters under which we have operated in this quarter. Also, the passenger car industry in India has grown YOY 11%. So overall, we've grown 8%, and so the reason why we did not beat industry, normally we beat industry growth, is basically because of the steel wheel business we gave up in Maruti. Besides that, there have been certain challenges over the past 1 year, with a lot of wage hikes happening, minimum wage is going up, plus we have accorded ESOP, incremental ESOPs of 2.7 crores. Obviously, this is not a cash item, but this shows up in the P&L. Nevertheless, this money stays with the company. So this has been an increase. Also, we've consciously hired about 60 people in the R&D department, and this is being done in order to sort of train them for a future expansion that has already occurred or is in the process of occurring. So a couple of things that have happened in the future expansion part in the castings business is that we've increased the capacity of aluminum wheels from 3 million to 4.8 million, and that is happening as we speak. So a lot of new projects from America, a lot of new projects from Europe are coming to us, and for which we've hired new R&D staff. So that's why you don't see a remarkable improvement in the EBITDA percentage or per wheel margin, but it is only because of these additional items that have come in. For example, let me repeat, the ESOP for 2.7 crores, it's about 1.25 crores for new hirees. Plus, there have been increments which are on a bigger base, so that have led into this reduction in EBITDA. Also, I must add that we've invested in the EV business for two wheelers, so that has taken a toll of 1 crore rupees. So stuff like that really is futuristic. For example, even ESOP, I consider futuristic because they are an investment in our people, and people are the biggest strength of this company. So investment in new hires is for new expansion in castings business. Plus, we are entering into a new business. I have hinted this enough in the past, but we have entered into a new business, rather, let me put it this way, that is concerning casting for automotive, and it's the first of its kind in the country. And for sake of secrecy, I don't want to reveal the product's name, but we have hired people for that purpose also. So you will see incremental jump in sales in the next couple of years, mainly because of this new business and also the expansion. So for the moment, I'm happy to answer any questions that my audience would like to ask. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Riddhesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. You know, you had actually indicated on your last conference call that you guys were expecting about 20% volume growth, and that overall you were expecting an increase in EBITDA per wheel as well. You know, so just wanted to know whether, you know, given all the incremental data which you shared earlier in the call, whether you were still holding by the guidance and how we should think about that going forward for the rest of the year.
I think that's a fantastic question. In fact, I should have talked about this in my opening statement. You see, when we are talking about a turnover of 4,500 to 4,700 crores this year, that is predicated on enhanced capacity. Utilization is not an issue with us. It's enhancement of capacity. And I just mentioned that our capacity is going to 4.8 million wheels of aluminum wheels. That is going to start giving results from August onwards. So we've had a slight delay of 1 month here, but we've not lost any sales for that matter. In fact, in the month of July, we will have our highest aluminum wheel sales. And going into August, that will be a changer in terms of you will see incremental increase in the revenue of the company as well as increased profitability. So the picture of 4,600, 4,500, 4,700 is going to play out predominantly in the second half. So we are in the first half, second quarter, and you will already start seeing results of that as when the results for July are released and then August, September are released. So don't lose heart. I am absolutely committed to delivering those numbers that I've talked about. It's just that it always had to happen in the latter half of the year.
Got it. And just want to understand what's actually driving this incremental growth and high degree of confidence, is obviously the growth is quicker than the industry growth. Just wanted to understand that.
Yeah, so as I said, our growth is going to come beyond the industry growth simply because we are going to be exporting. So, I mean, that's the next topic we can talk about. But you will see growth coming not only from steel but also from aluminum. So it's going to be an all-round growth, and earlier we didn't have capacity. So we were very focused on the domestic market. That's why you see a 4% increase, a 4.5% increase YOY. But now the shackles have been opened, and you will see a progressive increase in revenue from the aluminum side. Right. And obviously, if you want to talk about growth, then of course exports have grown 150%, and that run rate should continue for the rest of the year. I think we should be looking at 600 crores plus in exports growth versus about 300 crores last year. So it's a 100% increase over last year.
Got it. And what is the driving the increase in EBITDA wheel is the exports and the move towards alloys, is it?
Yeah. Also, yes, the EBITDA is going to be definitely driven higher by the aluminum wheel sales increase. There's no doubt about it. Also by a higher increase in exports. But let me add a small caveat here, which I should have addressed in my opening statement, is that you know, we have increased our exports, no doubt, But we've had to give a small reduction in pricing in order to gain back the market share that we had lost last year. Last year, we said there was a lot of inventory pileups and there was a lot of rationalizing of inventory. So that's why we were losing out. But I also had mentioned that we are coming back to it, and we have come back to it. Maybe one quarter late, but we have slowly, sure-footedly come back to our export mojo. And we should be seeing solid numbers, albeit with a reduced EBITDA margin, but still very high teen margin. So if I was operating at 20 plus, maybe I'm operating at 17 and a half now. So it's not a huge game changer, but nevertheless, that is something that needs to be considered.
Got it. And this is the last question is that, as you are evolving from actually steel wheels into alloy wheels, I understand that obviously the profitability overall is actually higher in alloy. But the competition also is higher in alloys, so as the industry is slowly moving towards alloys, would you expect to see a certain reduction in our market share, and how should we think about balancing these two things?
I think this is a brilliant question. I'm sure now the investors should listen very carefully. No doubt that there is enhanced competition domestically. But, when programs are launched by OEMs, they normally get launched for the next 2 years. So, based on the order book right now I have, I am totally sold out till 2026. I am, in fact, increasing my market share as time will go up, because I have won businesses that I wasn't there in earlier. And I can also communicate to you that this is based on the existing customers. Now, there is a very, very, very strong possibility that I get into the number one OEM of the country. Okay, this is again new news. People need to assimilate that. And that will be a game changer. So I have, and also along with that, my exports are doing incredibly well. And I hope to, as I service the requirement, because for 1 year I wasn't servicing the export business. Now as I service my business, I'm going to have exponentially more orders from there also. So all in all, if these two things pan out, as I said, entry into the biggest OEM of the country and increasing growth in the export business, then what I had told earlier, that we will be going to 10 million wheels in 3 to 5 years. So that stand will also remain. So I'm very gung-ho, very positive on what I've spoken earlier, and I'm reiterating that these two things happening will be a game changer for the company. And we are quite close to both of them.
Got it. Understood. Thank you. Let me rejoin the queue. Thank you.
And let me add one more thing for the rest of the audience so they can also understand is that there have been anti-circumvention duties being investigated into Vietnam, who is our main competitor for export of wheels, steel wheels. So that is also going to buoy our story as we go forward. So all in all, based on my previous call, I'm more positive than I was earlier.
Got it. Thank you. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Abhishek from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. As you mentioned that you have a very strong order book in alloy wheels and you are increasing 50% capacity in alloy wheels in FY24 only. So how much incremental revenue will be able to generate in the next 2 years? And how much share of business we can take from Maruti?
See, incremental business, you can definitely multiply by 50%. You will get the answer. So there is no new math to be done. Insofar as market share is concerned, as I already told you, that we are taking market share away from competition so far, and that takes our order book to 2026. So in terms of entering Maruti, I've already told you that we are very, very close, and hopefully we should get some good news shortly. Maybe by the next conference call, you will have that news.
So you are targeting around 100 crores revenue from alloy wheels in FY24 from export as well. So what about the FY25 numbers? Where do you have a sufficient capacity for the full year? So can we expect around 300 to 400 crores kind of the revenue from the alloy wheels?
Yes, I think you have a fairly good point to make here, that the revenue from the alloy wheel business should cross 300 crores next year.
As you are mentioning that volume growth would be very much strong in the alloy wheels, so mix will move towards the alloy wheels, which is a high margin business, and expecting EBITDA per wheels around 500 to 550.
Who says 550 rupees EBITDA? Well, nobody is saying 550 rupees EBITDA margin, but we haven't declared to you any EBITDA margin on a per wheel basis. So we have just said consolidated, we are at 260, And I would not sort of volunteer to give you information about each and every business. So just because we were getting into problems with steel and aluminum price variation, and the EBITDA from 13% was coming to 11%, so people had a lot of genuine questions. So to clarify those, we said our weighted average EBITDA is close to 250 and 260. And obviously it will improve as we go forward with more alloy wheel sales. All I can say is that.
So what is your target EBITDA in FY24 or EBITDA per wheels in FY24?
So, you know, last time I actually mentioned in one of my phone calls that, you know, we will have an improvement of 15%. And so I and some people have understood it 15% per wheel of EBITDA. But at this moment, I wouldn't want to sort of guide the market in terms of exact EBITDA per wheel. But I can always definitely say that we would be in the range of 10 to 15% improvement in the EBITDA, absolute EBITDA margins for the company on an absolute basis. Because there are so many other pitfalls that might arise. I don't want to commit anything that doesn't come through. And then obviously the market can change. But for now, what things are looking like, market is, if, even if it remains at this level, we will do much better than we have projected.
As far as the employee cost is concerned, that is there any one-offs in employee cost? Because if I take the run rate of 88 crores, then there will be around 24% growth on Y-on-Y basis on employee cost.
Okay. So, if you look at this quarter's number, so new hirees, which are exclusively meant for future expansion, they took away 1.16 crores. Okay. Plus, ESOPs, which is a non-cash item. So this is like a 2.7 crores. So if you start analyzing all these costs, then obviously it may not work out in that manner. Plus, similarly, 1 crores on EV. Again, that's basically a cost of capital nature, but we expense it. So stuff like that is going to happen when expansion happens. Now, we may take a policy of capitalizing it, but for now, we haven't done it. So I would say that increments, this year we target about 8% increments. So whatever our salary bill was last year, we target 8% over that. And going forward, you will have higher revenues happening. So when the higher revenues happen, the employee cost per wheel will come down. Rather than, it looks higher right now, but it will come down as we get to the second half of the year.
Okay. And my last question on the PLI side. So how much total investment in the PLI and how much incremental revenue can we start to generate from PLI to PLI?
So at the moment, the PLI is still under what you may call, it's not finalized because we are in the process of finalizing our agreement with Rettler. In fact, we should be having this news out by this week at best because it took a long time because of the agreement. It involves a lot of IP and so there were a lot of negotiations. So hopefully this week we'll do that. And once the investment for this controller happens, we are going to start investments in the motor business. So as we get a critical mass, we will apply for PLI under the policy. We already approved, but we need to qualify for it. For that, we need to generate revenue. But to generate revenue, I need to start investment. And for that, I need to make agreements. So all this is happening. It went beyond our assumption of the time, but nevertheless, we are still on it. So I can't comment on PLI. So don't please consider PLI as part of your future EBITDA gains until we announce it.
Thanks, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Varshit Shah from Veto Capital. Please go ahead.
First of all, thank you, management, for giving the opportunity and really speaking your heart out. I think we really appreciate such commentaries. My key question is on the alloy wheel side. So on the new expansion, the alloy wheel, are you targeting majorly export markets or you will be targeting the Indian market as well?
We will target both markets. Why should we leave the Indian market? And so our whole sales plan predication, our whole expansion is based on domestic as a base, and export is obviously an incremental bonus. But it's a good bonus. The market is huge. I mean, so we want to prove to the world that we are the lowest cost producer of aluminum wheels in the world, and the best, not the best, at least in the top 5 quality wheels of the world. And we are able to demonstrate that. And pretty soon, you will hear very, very good news from both the domestic and the export segment. So I think by the next conference call, in fact, you can ask me this question, what happened to what you're predicting right now. So you will have some news by then.
Yeah, fantastic. My second question is a follow-up on that. So domestic versus exports. I mean, in domestic, the margins are lower and
the
export margins are higher.
There's not much differentiation. It's similar margin.
Similar margin. And in terms of working capital also, it's largely similar?
Pardon me?
In terms of working capital also, it is largely similar?
No, working capital is stretched. You're right. Working capital is stretched because they pay in 60 days. Sometimes they pay in 90 days. And that's one reason that our working capital has gone up in this quarter. But I don't think that's going to be a big denter on the EBITDA margins on a percentage-wise. So even if it takes away 20 basis points, it's okay. It's not big deal.
Right, right. So if you look at our net working capital, it's improved sharply over the last 2 years. So if I were to just take FY23 as a base, I mean March 23, would you be able to kind of sustain in that particular range plus minus 5-10 days?
Yeah, I to be frank, I haven't looked at those numbers. My CFO will comment on that. You want to comment on the receivables increase because of exports? He's saying his export receivables have gone up because of higher exports. So what is the increase in the...
So, see, if you look at the total export that we have done in current quarter versus the Q1 that we did last year, there is a jump of almost 100%. From 72 odd crore, that number has moved to 154. So, just because of that number increase, there will be some buildup of receivables. But receivables, I guess, are the outer limit for the receivables that we are carrying across the customer that we are serving is around 90 days. So, blended, I guess, it should come down when the entire impact comes in.
Got it. So on a ROC basis, it will be largely similar. I mean, both export and domestic sales.
So largely similar. See, part of it get compensated by higher EBITDA margin in this
business. Right. So what I'm trying to say is that at the ROC level, it will be largely similar.
Yes.
For both
business.
Okay. I have to follow, but I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Aditya Vekar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so sir, thanks for the opportunity. So I just want to understand EBITDA per wheel, it is going to be in the range of 250 to 260 per wheel, right? In FY23.
We would rather comment on this in the second half. So for the first half, yes, it's going to range around this number.
Okay, understood. And absolute EBITDA growth, which I heard correct, is 15% in FY24, we expect, right?
Yeah, that's our plan. And I really want, I mean, this is all predicated on the second half being amazing. But as things stand right now, the things are pretty good.
So what's the status on our AMW acquisition and its...
So the NCLT has reserved its order. We should be getting the order any time in the next 1 or 2 weeks. And hence, after that, we should be taking over that project. And we already have a plan as to what to do there. And we are going to increase our capacity to make commercial vehicles because we are getting a lot of traction for commercial vehicle exports as well as domestic. And we are also getting into a newer customer that we were not present with in the South. These are the two things that we want to do immediately up front. Plus, we would probably use equipment from there to improve productivity by sort of taking higher production equipment from there and installing them in our various locations to increase productivity and lower cost. Another thing that we are doing a lot is on automation. So this has not been talked about, but we've done an impressive implementation of about 90 robots in the last financial year. And in fact, our mother factory, which is the oldest in the world and the biggest factory in the world under a single roof, is pretty automated now. So you will see, and although minimum wages are going up, in fact, minimum wages have added 1.55 crores this quarter on the cost. And this particular quarter, 1.5 crores is the impact of minimum wages. So we understand that, you know, besides input increases, there are manpower costs which are going up, and we are taking up with that these costs with the customer. But at the same time, we are implementing automation in order to reduce our reliance on the human labor.
Understood. Good to hear that, sir. So just taking a bit of a longer-term view, means for FY25, means given all the positive factors you just explained on the export side, on alloy wheels, automation, can we not expect that this EBITDA per wheel will rise vis-a-vis 24, means the trajectory will be upward?
Of course. Trajectory next year has to be upward because we are moving into all value-added products. I mean, so all the expansion that is happening is in value-added, including the AMW. So AMW will get us CV kicker. Alloy wheel expansion is going to get us a you know, high value added kicker. Plus the casting business that I have not spoken about is going to be an extremely most profitable business for us. So and that's a new age business. So that the results of which you will see next financial year for sure. Yes.
Let you quantify a ballpark range where we can use in our projections EBITDA per wheel, or you can tell a split of EBITDA per wheel between alloy wheels and steel wheels.
Okay, so I can give you the numbers if you want to note it down. So alloy wheels, we did about in this quarter 271 crores, and then you said CV, alloy wheels versus CV, you said?
Alloy wheels versus steel wheels, EBITDA per wheel.
Oh, EBITDA per wheel. Oh, so I don't want to sort of, I told you at the beginning that I don't want to reveal my numbers absolutely on this call, because I was forced to give the numbers per wheel because the percentages were varying. So, but I don't want to get into the granular part because there is competition also listening into, customers are also listening to this call. So I want to keep it, you know, away from more questioning from unwanted areas.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kumar Saurabh from Scientific Investing. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sir, I have three questions. The first question, as you said, in alloy wheels, we are the lowest cost producer. So just if you can, you know, expand a little bit on what are the reasons. Are these purely labor economics reasons, or we have some kind of process or IP advantage? That is one. Second, our aspiration to, you know, go for 10 million 4-5 years down the line in alloy wheel. So have you taken into account all these cyclicity and all which plays, or, you know, those factors have not been taken into account? And third,
what is the question?
Second question is, we have a long-term vision of, you know, going for 10 million capacity maybe 5 years down the line. So when we say this aspiration, does it cover all the cyclicity which plays out, you know, in different auto segments or not?
Yeah, yeah.
The second question.
So I cannot tell you one thing. I can tell you one thing, that the aluminum wheel business in terms of volume is in crores. So I am at, let's say, 50 lakhs now. So we are talking about a very small percentage of this market. Now, what I'm predicating my growth cycle is based on, obviously, cost. Like you said, yes, there are advantages of human labor in India, both staff level as well as worker level. And the cost of finance is very similar to the world. So we don't have any distinct disadvantage from the rest of the world. Plus, we have transportation advantages because it's cheaper to ship from India to a Western port than it is to ship from an Eastern city in Europe to a Western city in Europe. So I tick off all the boxes to be successful in terms of cost. And quality is a given for any business. So there we don't need to discuss. We are there because of our quality, number one. Number two is cost. And what you said, unpredictability of the global market scenario. You know, we've just taken one bucket out of the ocean. So there's a whole ocean to be milked. So I don't see any, as long as my quality and my cost is lower, quality is higher and cost is lower, I see no visible other than geopolitics, you know, that nobody can predict, or a force majeure. So beyond going to those levels, I'm pretty sure about the trajectory that we're taking, because it's a no-brainer for the buyer and a no-brainer for us to produce at those levels of cost.
Okay, thank you, sir. One more question. Sir, as you said in the beginning that, you know, there is a lot of additional hiring which has been done to drive the new businesses, and, you know, there is a way operating leverage plays out. So I'm not asking for, you know, how much margins and all, but it might take one quarter, two quarter, three quarter. So, like, when do you see that kind of operating leverage on the new CapEx which is going well playing out?
As I said, second half of the year, you will see those results. It's already happening in this, but marginally, but you will see substantial gains in the second half. So when I give out the December numbers to you, you will notice that, you know, EBITDA has improved and the volumes have improved and the revenue has improved.
Thank you, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Avadhoot Joshi from Bryanstone Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. First, about the adding these 60 people in the R&D. for Alloy Wheels. I would like to know what are we trying to achieve by this, whether we are looking at the weight reduction into the alloy wheels and how we want to do it. If you can throw some light on it, that's first.
This is for new project. You know, we have to entertain so many RFQs globally. And so in order to answer those RFQs, we need to process the information, and that is done through an R&D mindset and a computer and a seat. So you need to have all that in order to process an RFQ. And if I want to sell a 5 million wheel in next financial year, I need to get the businesses now. So, and we already have gotten some businesses already in the past. So that's why I'm saying you will in any case see an increase in revenue from and sales of aluminum wheels.
So what's our timeline from RFQ to SOP kind of thing? What would be the timeline for us?
You know, it depends on customer to customer, but RFQ to SOP. It could be 2 months, it could be 4 months. It all depends on how soon the customer wants it. And sometimes it entails testing. Testing sometimes takes 3 extra months for an OEM. So it could be from two to 9 months. It could happen from 2 to 7 months, let's say.
Is much smaller part for us. It's not that long stage.
No, that's why I'm saying you're going to see results this second half.
Okay, understood. And lastly, sir, when you said that 4.5 million alloy wheels capacity will be utilized by FY26, so are we planning for another capacity expansion?
Yes, we are always on the lookout. As soon as we fill up this order book or the capacity of the plant, I'm going to look for another capacity enhancement. Millions are not going to happen from one day to the other. It's going to be incremental part. So now I'm going to be at 5 million and then I will add another 2 million, let's say, for example. And I will locate it strategically for domestic as well as export. So there's a lot of things happening.
Okay. So normally it would take one year to add capacity? Whether it's
I would say about 15 months, 15 to 18, 15 to 16 months, yes.
Okay, and what would be the capex then if you want to increase by 1 million kind of
capex? Right now, because I don't know how much it will cost, because we do a mix and match of old and new equipment, so we never go for all new equipment. We try to save cost. We are on the prowl for new equipment, so we'll see once we get them.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Chirag Shah from White Pine. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. And sir, first of all, congratulations for this conservative accounting policy. I hope you continue with that and focus on future ROCs rather than near-term margins. So please, if don't change unless it's very required to do so based on acceptable accounting policies. So one. Second, sir, I have a slightly different question first. On the R&D side first, so you said that you had hired 60 people. Now, how should one look at the R&D part of this? And generally, in your assessment, what is lead to lag time? So when do you decide to hire people? When by the time you hire people, then they start?
So the hiring happens based on the RFQs that we receive. So when we see that existing, we see the rate of change in increasing RFQs, and then it also entails the process of hiring. The process of hiring takes about 3-4 months for the first candidate to be interviewed, joined, and etc. And we forecast based on our marketing as to how many businesses they can get us. And because we've been in touch with the customer, so one customer can give you 60 RFQs, for example. There have been cases when one customer has given us 60 RFQs. And obviously the volumes may not be very, very high in each of them, but still they need the same amount of attention and time. Of course, we get a better margin on those businesses. But such like that. So it is based on the flow of RFQs as well as on a gut feel as to what is the productivity. In fact, we are running our R&D in shifts now. So because we don't have so much office space, so we put R&D in 8-hour shifts so that they can process the RFQs 16 hours a day. So stuff like that we do.
And I presume these are all junior talents and not very senior talents.
No, they are pretty senior talent. They are postgraduate degree holders. And majority of our team is the postgraduate.
No, in terms of experience. So these are like kind of freshers.
Yeah, so they can be trained by our system, yes. So they get an IP knowledge when they work with us. It's very beneficial to them also, because they work on certain softwares that we paid for, and those softwares are not very easily available to normal people outside this business.
Okay. And sir, is this R&D, now, if you can indicate what is the total strength of R&D today that you would be having?
Again, you know, these are all, I can tell you that this has been a substantial hike in R&D hiring. I don't want to give you numbers because it goes to competition.
Okay. And are these R&D people are fungible because you're also working on...
right now, that's a good question. They are not fungible, but we have used our steel experienced guys to get into aluminium. So it really answers your question in a roundabout manner. But the guys that we hire right now are exclusively meant for aluminum and a new product. Again, people should not forget that there is another R&D going on that I have kept under wraps. And that is very, very strong. And I don't have a name for it, so it doesn't probably cross your mind. But keep in mind that these 60 people are not only for aluminum wheels, but also for another new business that has started and we should be rolling out revenue in the next 3-4 months.
No, I was actually asking from that perspective only. Given that you're focused on EV and the casting piece which you indicated, is this R&D team fungible between different projects or no, you need dedicated?
That's right. For the business that, the casting business, yes, there will be fungibility in those. But we still have kept them independent because there's a lot of work for the aluminum guys right now. So we are training people for this new product, this new casting product, independently. But yes, in future they can all become leaders and cross-functionally train each other and work with each other.
Okay. Sir, the RFQs that you are winning now or that you are participating now, are there for the similar type of wheel sizes, be in terms of inches as well as width, or these are all very different wheels which...
No, they are similar and different at the same time. So there's going to be a mix of OEM as well as aftermarket business. They are something that we can handle easily. In fact, we've also some of our work to China because China sometimes is cheaper to do this work for us. So we are not leaving any time to get to the market. So, and you know, hiring is not so easy. Talent availability in India is a big challenge, although we are such a large country. But we are doing everything possible to reduce the time to market.
And the certain housekeeping...
Mr. Shah, I request you to join back the queue, sir.
Just one housekeeping question I had on number of wheel reams, but that's it, nothing else. That you generally share every quarter reams sold in the quarter. If you can just share that number.
Volume, yeah. So again, that's something I don't know if my team has shared with you or not, but I think I would rather not do that at the moment. Again, this is all confidential for us.
Okay, because in the past, every quarter you used to give one number, you know, total number of reams sold kind of a thing. That's it, nothing else.
I'm not aware of it, but we can pass this information on. We've done that before on the volume of wheels sold in this this quarter.
Okay.
You can be in touch with SGA.
Yeah, I'll come back for more questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer queries from all participants, please restrict your questions to two at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We have a next question from the line of Abhash Poddar from Ioneos Alpha Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So, just wanted your thoughts on the steel wheel capacity utilization. Why I'm asking this is...
What?
So you will
I
have
can't hear
capacity.
You.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, better.
Yeah. So just wanted to understand your thoughts on steel wheel capacity utilization. Where I'm coming from is you mentioned earlier that you've let go of some business from Maruti and you will have this AMW capacity coming on stream probably in the next month, hopefully. And you talked about new orders as well, which you're looking for. Currently, clearly, there is some volume which is undergoing some stress on the steel wheel side. So just wanted to pick your brains on how do you think about capacity utilization? Wouldn't it have been okay to keep the Maruti business and still go with AMW because you will have excess capacity anyways? So could you just please talk about that and your thoughts there? How are you thinking about it?
Okay, so with the advent of exports, our utilization has remarkably improved over the last year. We have an 8% increase in sales, and you know most of that increase has come from the steel wheel side. We have to consciously, you know, we are trying out a way wherein we improve the quality of life of our workers, improve the quality productivity of our workers, than to just go for mass business and run the plant 7 days a week. So we have consciously decided that we will give, since the plants are also, instead of doing a firefighting operation, we are sort of saying, look, we will improve the quality of our cost by lowering our cost, not having unwanted breakdowns, and only work on businesses that really give us a EBITDA margin. So if I were to just add capacity in Chandigarh plant where we let go of the Maruti business, it would have meant not much change in the overall EBITDA margin or absolute EBITDA for the company. So it's I would say that we've consciously taken a decision to focus on high value added item. Then we are seeing that in export. Plus, we are saying that our utilization in Chandigarh plant will be better than last year simply based on the growth in the tractor business and the upsurge in the export business. So I don't think, but your point is valid. And so far as AMW is concerned, we are going to pick and choose equipment from there, improve our productivity in the existing business. We are not going to start that BMS right now.
So just to clarify, so basically what I wanted to eventually get to is AMW coming in and you having almost 6.5 million capacity initially. Even if that is idle for some point of time, there will not be any incremental cost pressures that you see coming from there, right?
No, because we will not have any incremental cost pressures. But at the same time, we will increase our capacity in CV. As I said earlier to somebody else's question, that we are going to add capacity in the CV business. CV business is doing tremendously well in India. And this is a cyclical bull run for the next 3-4 years at least. So, and we are sold out on our capacity for CV production. In fact, I am short of production capacity in aluminium. I am short of production capacity in CV. And I have remedial measures for that, and AMW is coming at the right time for me.
Perfect, perfect. That's great to hear. And the second question was just an update. So basically just trying to understand what is happening on the red third bit, and obviously you mentioned some comments where you will sign the contract, but from what time we start seeing them contribute meaningfully? One is the Redler, second is the casting bit also you talked about. So when do these things start hitting our revenue and should we see meaningful numbers from here?
Materially speaking, they will add revenues in the last quarter of this year, but and progressively. But so I wouldn't point that out and take that in my projection sheet that this is going to give that much better. So I would say it's at a beta stage. So coming to the fourth quarter, we will be giving a better picture on the whole thing.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Priyank Parekh from Abacus Asset Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to ask on the CapEx guidance. In the previous quarter, we had given the guidance of 150 crore. And given the new projects...
I do not hear, my friend.
Yeah. Am I audible now?
You are audible, but your voice breaks off.
Yeah. Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah, just wanted to understand on the CapEx planning. In last quarter, we guided for a 150 crore of CapEx. And and now we are talking about the expansions and...
part of the same expansion. Last quarter's expansion. And in this quarter, I can also add that we did a 90 crore CapEx. So this is a pre-form, expansion of our existing... alloy wheel facility to take it from 3 million to 4.8 million wheels. So, and this, as said, will come into play next month itself. So I don't see much capex happening beyond this. Plus, on the castings business, there is going to be some capex. We will let out the details on capex. I don't have them offhand on me, but whatever capex we are doing this year, we'll ask SGA to publish this to every investor.
Okay, that is helpful. And you covered this thing in previous answers as well. But just wanted to understand what is the kind of number, incremental revenue you are seeing from the non-wheel business? That is this casting and...
Asking the same question in another way. I wouldn't want to comment on it because I'm not sure of everything that I should be saying on this issue. So believe me, I will come to it with my own volition, maybe in the next conference call, or definitely in January I will come and explain to you everything. Because by then the bell will be out of the cat will be out of the bag and everyone will know it.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Himanshu Bisani from Niveshai. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask on the, if you could give me the export breakup, that 150 crores of export revenue we have.
Again, these are all confidential information. You know, I don't want to reveal to my competition what I'm doing. So you're making your own company weaker in front of competition by asking, by seeking this answer.
Okay, no, sure. My next question would be that you see recovery in the coming quarters and the next years to be better. Which auto segment do you think will lead this recovery?
I don't know if you've not heard my call in the beginning. I said the aluminum wheel business and the export business is going to be leading the story for the second half of this year, and that's where you will see the higher EBITDA numbers and higher revenue numbers.
No, so my question was auto segment wise, like PVC, where do you think the recovery would be the leading?
I don't think I would want to sort of again share the granular details of my business simply because I've given you a macro picture. The exports is exports. The TV is TV. I think I'm pretty sure you can make a big sense out of it rather than asking me how much is of aluminum, how much of steel, and how much of casting, etc. So please bear with me on this one.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. First question is actually just looking at the cash flows. I mean, you have generated almost 1,000 crores of cash flows in the last 4 years, which primarily went for debt reduction, and now you are at around 50% net debt to equity. Now, going ahead, I think next 3 years, you might generate a very similar amount. And you are not now constrained by debt or reduction in certain ways. But just trying to understand, have you thought out how you want to deploy the next 1,000 crores across various aspects? Are you comfortable with the current debt equity ratio? Or would you look to also get back to shareholders? How would you break that up into various aspects?
I think, Pulkit, that's a very good question. And if you want my honest answer, I haven't thought about it. I mean, you may say that this is naive or whatever. The real cash flows are going to come out, once this expansion is complete, and new revenue is coming. So, yes, this exercise we would like to do when we are looking at the results of this financial year and going into the next financial year, because we have no other expansion planned this year other than the casting expansion, the alloy wheel expansion, the expansion into motors, the expansion into controllers. So all these four things are now known to everyone, and beyond that we have no... and of course there will be an expense on AMW which is obviously going to increase to contribute to revenues in the next financial year. And some in this year already, because we will be using the TV facilities from there. So to give you a, I don't want to make you a long answer to this question. We haven't thought about the next 1,000 crores that are going to come in. But I'm sure by the end of this year, we will have some new ideas. We will have to expand our capacity in our casting business, because this casting business is a niche business, and it is very akin to the alloy wheel business. So first mover advantage is with us, plus the market is going to explode. So there will be expansions on that account. And we don't know how well the business with the motors does. We may end up in the EV space in a very, very big way. So things are a little bit unclear at the moment. But what we are clear, what we have spoken about, we are implementing. So there is no deviation, no change, and no dithering.
Understood. Now, second question is just understanding the employee cost bit. So forgetting the quarterly aspect, if I broadly look at it, 220 crores of employee cost 2 years ago, FY22. And this year seems closer to 360 crores. And there's a sizable 140 crores kind of jump in just 2 years.
Now, I'm not so sure about this question, the classification under which you're saying from 220 crores to 360 crores on labor expenses. I don't think that there is some, but you kindly send us this question. I'll have it examined and give you a clear answer, because I'm not aware of what you're just saying.
Right. I'm just looking at the employee cost reported. But my idea was just to understand that, what percentage or what is the amount that we are spending on initiatives that have yet not generated revenue.
As I said, the R&D cost, the EV cost, let me reiterate that for the audience again. So we've had an increase of 116 lakhs from new hirees. We've had an increase of 1 crore from investment in the EV business. So this is clearly 2.16 crores in the business, for which revenues are going to start happening over the second half of this year. Minimum wages have gone up by 1.55 crores. That is something not in our hand. I have to increase more productivity or get input increases. Something I said in the beginning, that I'm going to put my foot down and going to ask the OEMs to pay for the wage increases, because wage increases are much higher than the productivity increases that we are able to generate. So yes. This is where we are at.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Imran Khan from Longbow India Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, thanks for the opportunity and good afternoon to everyone. So my question is on your exports. I have two questions. So first one is on, you know, the if I look at your global, maybe global players who are in the same business, can you please tell us how different are our, you know, segments compared to, let's say, Maxion Wheel or Ronal Group in Europe?
So we, our wheels are not different. They're absolutely not different. So they are the same.
So then in that case, so for example, Ronal Group, the average realization per wheel is about, you know, 5,500 to 6,000 rupees.
My friend, that is in euros. Again, exchange rate makes a difference. Plus, the cost
of I'm only talking about in rupee terms. So I know.
So you convert that in rupees with what exchange rate? You convert it at by 95, 90, 80. It all varies. And secondly, aluminum prices are much different than in Europe than in India. And the cost structure in Europe is much higher than it is in India. So you cannot say that the same wheel, it's like buying a McDonald's in India versus buying a McDonald's in America. It is not the same.
Right. So then my subsequent question to this is, if I look at their cost structures, maybe if I focus on employee cost only, the, you know, in percentages term, they are, you know, paying almost double the percentage that we pay. So we in India
are advantage, absolute advantage, yes.
So can you please talk more about it and tell us, you know, maybe in the future, your growth would be much higher because this arbitrage is there and, you know, therefore...
I said in the beginning of the call that I am looking at 10 million wheels predicated on the fact that I will be the lowest cost producer of wheels in the world with the top 5 quality, the quality amongst the top 5 vendors of the world. There is nothing new in this to add.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rishit Zaveri from Pi Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted your outlook on the raw material.
Mr. Zaveri, you're not clear, sir. There's some disturbance on your line.
Okay. Is it better now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. Sir, I wanted some outlook on the raw material cost in the coming quarter and in the coming financial year. What's your outlook there?
So I think aluminum prices have almost bottomed out, and I also feel that steel prices have bottomed out. From here on, we expect an increase, and I don't know what percentage of increase, but it would be very much in the range of 10 to 15% as we go forward in this in the remaining part of the year, remaining part of the quarters in this year.
Okay, and we expect to pass it down.
Always pass on.
Okay, and sir, also can you give us some brief highlight on the order book currently in the alloy segment and the steel segment?
I'm sold out till 2026 in alloy. In CVs, I'm sold out. I'm adding capacity. In tractor, I have leverage. I can do more. In fast car steel, I can do more. But overall, operating at a better run rate than last year.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Saurav Datta from Minerva. Please go ahead.
Minerva.
Okay. Yeah, very quickly, just wanted to understand the breakdown between value and volume over the past 1 year for this quarter.
So I think the value is there and published, no? 10-something number is there. And volume, obviously, we've just mentioned that we don't want to reveal volume. And if it's necessary that you want to have those volumes, you can be in touch with us here.
No, I just I meant the growth. If just the growth numbers or
that 8% growth in numbers.
No, sorry, I didn't get that part.
In the beginning of the call.
Mr. Datta.
Yeah. I'm sorry. The correction. That should answer my question. Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sumangal Pugalia from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have one basic question. I think it's been touched upon but not really a convincing or a clear answer. The question is that as our alloy wheel mix in terms of value has reached 30% in terms of volume 16 in FY23 and somewhere stable in Q1 FY24. But our basic overall margin, the entire thesis is that shift of sales mix to higher margin alloy wheel segment. That is not paid off. So if you can in one or two key points simply explain why the margin profile has not improved in the last year and also the first quarter despite a significant improvement in volume mix?
If you look at what I said earlier in the call, we have had a 4% increase in alloy wheels, not more than that, because of capacity constraints. So all that extra expense that we're doing in R&D costs and development costs, which have been expensed in this quarter, will come into fruition in the second half of the year when we start ramping up our capacity by 50%. So imagine that what you're talking about, 50% increase in capacity in sales in aluminium, surely will increase our EBITDA percentage as well as EBITDA per wheel and overall EBITDA of the company. So that story is playing out from August, as I said. In fact, from July already we have some inventory, so we are going to be hitting our highest sales. So every month you will see a very solid number in aluminum wheels. And every month we release the numbers and you can see that there will be a solid growth YOY. Right now it's a 4% growth, so it doesn't look much. But as the month progress, you will see better numbers on this. It will touch double digit also toward the end of the year.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pranay Khandelwal from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to ask about this particular metric, EBITDA per wheel, but like the historical, I don't want to go in the future. So in FY19, we had an EBITDA per wheel of close to 268. And in those years from FY19 to FY23, our alloy as a percentage of total revenue has gone up from 3% to 30%.
I think, let me correct you. You know, the EBITDA in 2018-19, I've just been given this data, is not 260, it is 166.
According to our calculation, it was coming out.
But then I'm giving you the calculation that we, our accounts department has done. So maybe your calculations have made an error.
Yeah, maybe. We look into that. So according to you, they were 160.
Yeah, there's 33% increase.
Oh, then that makes sense. I think that was the aberration. That's why I wanted to ask this question. Like, why is it that alloy wheels have gone up, but the EBITDA per wheel is still stable? And apart from that, I wanted to ask about the capacity that will be added on by the AMW acquisition. Like,
yeah, one of your colleagues said 4 to 5 million wheels, which is fair enough. But we will not have use of that capacity right up front. But slowly but surely we will add capacity as we see it alongside the market dynamics. So for now, this year, you will see incremental only in the CV segment, that we will enhance the CV sales. And CV is a good business for us. And next year, we should be adding agriculture wheels from AMW. And then I think we are adding another line over there, which I have not spoken about, but that is going to cater to the higher size wheels of the off-highway segment. And for that, we are working with OEMs. As and how we get attraction and a letter of comfort from the OEMs, we will invest in that. And that will happen in AMW. So for now, you can park this question for the next meeting, but do ask this question next time, because I think this question is relevant.
Thank you.
I think please, we should make our closing remarks now.
Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. So I think I'm very happy to have this call every quarter, and every time I have this call, there's a better understanding of a business by the investors, and the questions are very much pointed and very much useful. In fact, I draw a lot of inspiration from your questions, and it helps me motivates me to do better. So it's a win-win for both sides. So don't think that it's just that you need to make money or I need to make money. Both of us need to make money and both of us help each other. You by asking me questions and your questions give me a lot of insight to my own business. So thank you for that. And finally, I want to add that, you know, I had spoken about de-pledging my shares and I had promised the market that by end of March this year, I would be down to 5% or somewhere in the early numbers. Unfortunately, I was not successful in implementing my target, but I'm pleased to announce that today I have de-pledged 50% of my pledged shares today in one go. So that should go a long way in allaying any concerns the investors had for the last 3-4 years. And this is all I want to say before I sign off. Thank you all very, very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Smiths Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.